The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hi guys, this is Eric from Flame On, and I'm here with Charlie Harding. And how do I explain what you do for a living, Charlie? Can you explain this to my listeners, please?
Sure. Oh, please. I'm best known as an adult film actor. So basically, I have sex on camera, and people watch it.
That is a great description of what he does.
I mean, let's get real. That's what it is. You know, I fulfill some fantasies and do things on film that some folks wish they could attempt or at least have a fantasy about attempting. And so I do that on film and they get off on it.
That is perfect. All right. I do have some questions I wanted to ask.
Hold on.
What? Am I going to hit myself?
Who are the rest of us?
Oh, I'm with some people that like to make fun of me.
Eric gets so excited when he's talking to Charlie that he completely forgot that the rest of us are here.
I watched one of his movies, people, okay? It got me all hot and bothered.
Oh, he's spiking off the charts right now.
Okay. I need a fan or something. Woo!
He's flaming on.
He needs a fan, a bottle of lube, you know.
We have all those things here. Really? We can just make this a one-on-one interview.
Okay.
Well, for those of you who don't know me, I'm the Bearskin Rug, Pat. That's my mating call.
And I am Pat's boyfriend, Brian, of course. And next to me, without a mic, but I'm going to pass someone real quick.
Oh, hi, guys.
If you don't recognize the dulcet tones of Jared, then you obviously have never listened to the show before. So, go for it, Eric.
So, okay, I'm going to try this. So, Charlie, I wanted to know, since you had... Can you explain to the listeners the tattoos that you have on? So
sure.
They can have a visualization.
I have a bunch of different tattoos. Almost every tattoo that I have, or at least that I've gotten recently, I have a couple older ones that don't pertain to this statement. But the majority of the ones that I have are all based off of science fiction, television shows, series, movies, crop circle images, and like star charts. Like my whole forearm now is star charts and crop circle images. And for those who have seen Caprica, I have down the underside of my arm the Deadwalker symbol, which was the two girls who were killed on the train who came back into the virtual world and couldn't die there. So, you know, it's a lot of stuff like that. My back tattoo is all based off of Battlestar Galactica, the newer series. And on my chest, I've got a combination of Tauron symbolism, again, from Battlestar Galactica and Caprica, because I'm a Taurus, and some crop circle images. So I've gotten – my level of geekdom has even gone into my ink. Let's put it that way.
Now, since they'll eventually see this, we're doing this interview via Google Hangout. So the video will be up on YouTube shortly. We'll put that out there. But, Charlie, what do you say about showing our viewers those tattoos? I'm just saying. I'm throwing it out there.
Reveals, boys. No. I'm kidding. All right. Well, let's see. I sort of kind of showed the forearm.
Is there any High Gallifreyan on there from Doctor Who?
Some of the symbols. Not yet. See, oh, there's not the, yet. That's the Deadwalker girl.
Oh, wow.
Symbol there.
That's beautiful.
You know, I watched all of Caprica.
And such.
Oh, there you go.
There's the chest, which this is a Tauron symbol. It says I've actually been in the Tauron Mafia for 7 years. The gay character actually on Caprica had a small version of almost the kind of spider-like kind of thing there, but it was about this big on his chest. And then these are some crop circle images that I like that we added. So, wow. And then you're just trying to get make me get naked on film, aren't you?
Oh, he's on to us. Damn it.
And then let's see if I can get it in front of the camera.
That is awesome.
That's the Battlestar Galactica tattoo. That tattoo is actually the combined images of what Starbuck and Anders got when they got married instead of wedding rings. So, yeah, that's all my sci-fi ink that I've got right now. I actually have another crop circle image planned that's going to go from my lower back down my left butt cheek and down the back of my left leg, but...
The follow-up interview will be right after that one is done.
Like, this is a testament to how big of a fan you are. I thought I was a big Battlestar Galactica and Caprica fan. Seeing those images, I don't even remember. I remember the Tauron tattoos, but the Deadwalker thing, you have me beat, hands down. You are a better geek than I.
Well, it's one of those, I'm a very visual person. And so when there's a feeling that I get from something I'm reading or something I'm seeing or whatever... If there's some kind of an artistic symbol or something that's attached to it, that's what I always connect with. And that's just kind of that weird way my brain works. So
it's awesome.
It is awesome. Do you watch any of the older like Battlestar? Because I grew up with the old Battlestar.
I did. I watched some of it. It didn't really get me way back then. But I do like to go back and watch some of it now and look back and go, wow, this was. So ridiculously futuristic back then, and now we look at it and call it campy.
Right. Yes, that's my world. Nothing but camp.
Right.
So now, okay, so when you're doing a movie, like when you're on a movie set for one of your movies, do anybody else catch on to your tattoos and know what they are or anything like that?
Every once in a while, somebody will say something. You know, usually I don't think I've had another co-star actually come up and go, oh my gosh, I'm a sci-fi geek and I know exactly where these are from.
Right.
Now, I will say I was in Charleston, South Carolina on Saturday night doing an appearance at a bar down there, and this angry little lesbian comes storming over. And I'm like, uh-oh, is she mad? Because, you know, I mean, I'm there in my little underwear, and, you know, I was thinking angry lesbian, you know, men hater or something. She walks up and goes, that's Anders and Starbucks tattoo on your back, isn't it? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, I knew it. And she just walks off. And I'm like, okay, cool. So, yeah, they do get recognized a lot. Usually the one on my back is the one that everybody has identified the most.
Right. Well, in the film industry, is there like, are there other nerds like you, like sci-fi nerds and people?
Oh, yeah. Well, Liam Magnussen, he is also relatively famous and relatively new still to the porn industry, but going gangbusters. He and I talk on a regular basis about upcoming sci-fi movies and books that we're reading and stuff like that. And I think he outgeeks me and nerds me sometimes on it all. So there are a few of us in the industry that are really into it all.
I think you guys need to do at some point like a gay sci-fi porn. But it could be one of those that has, like, a story, so it's actually, like, you know, good-ish story and effects, and then...
Well, what? I will tell you, you need to rent or buy The Visitor by Raging Stallion and Falcon. That one came out about 3 years ago, and it's based off of the premise that Logan McCree, who is an alien, comes down to Earth and explores human sexuality. So...
Are you in that?
There's your next adult rental.
Oh boy!
Write that down, please.
Or actually, just to, not to promote my own movies at all, but the ones that I just did, it actually got nominated. My three-way scene with Trenton Ducati and Kyle King is nominated for best three-way at the Grabbies this year. It's called The Woods, parts 1 and 2, and that is actually a sci-fi based. Movie as well, but it's one that people don't realize has a weird kind of sci-fi twist in it.
You had me at Kyle King. You could have stopped there, and I would have gotten it. So, The Woods and The Visitor. Well, who makes The Woods?
Sorry?
Which studio does The Woods?
They're both through Raging Stallion, and they're actually both directed by Tony DeMarco.
Okay.
Wow.
Definitely check those out.
Yeah, please write this down for me.
Jared's taking copious notes here.
Okay, good.
We'll do our homework.
All right. Did you, Charlie, like growing up, did you always consider yourself like a nerd or sci-fi nerd as you like to identify as?
Well, I always, some people think I'm kidding when I say this, but I've been reading at least a book a week since I was four.
Wow.
I've been a crazy avid reader forever. I mean, at age 10, I was reading iRobot by Isaac Asimov. You know, I mean, I was one of those guys, you know, growing up. My father actually instilled in me the love for Star Trek. You know, I grew up with it. Star Wars was another big one for me. I'm one of those that I never chose one team or the other on the Star Trek Star Wars battle. You know, I was happy to ride that fence and love them both. My favorite movie of all time is actually Dune. It's absolutely my. There are so many lines for that movie that I want to use as tattoos, and you know, and I think I'm going to get the "Fear is the Mind Killer."
Awesome.
Actually, tattooed somewhere on my body at some point. The whole, and not just the little part, but the entire thing. The problem is it's actually a really long mantra to try to figure out a body part area that's big enough to fit it all.
Can I try one for that one? I'm
Just be careful, because what is it, like, fear is the little death, the blah, blah, blah. You don't want that on your penis. You
know? Right. Right, exactly.
Well, did it have, like, any influence of, like, the way your body looks today, like, being a nerd? Like, for me, growing up, like, I stopped looking for Superman. I decided to build up to become the Superman, to get the body. Did you do the same similar thing, or?
Well, growing up, I was the skinny kid. You know, I was very athletic, but I was the skinny kid. I was a gymnast. I played baseball. I played basketball and soccer. I mean, when I graduated high school, I weighed about 155, 160 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I was a springboard and platform diver, went to college. When I graduated from my undergraduate degree, I weighed about 165. You know, 5'10", 165 is a skinny kid. You know, and then mid-20s, when I was living in Europe and doing my master's degree, I started getting into the gym and really working out. And by the time I finished my MBA, I was at about 185. So something clicked, and I guess maybe getting out of the actual performance athletics transitioned me into the more of the bodybuilding side of athletics, and I've just been growing ever since.
What do you have your degrees in, if you don't mind me asking?
I have a bachelor's in business administration with a marketing concentration, and I have a master's in business administration with an international business focus.
Okay.
I officially fell in love with him. Okay. Do you follow any kind of like comic series or anything like that? And what do you watch now, too?
Well, I actually, my number two question when we scheduled this for this Monday evening was, number one was, how long is it going to take? And will it be live at the, you know, as we're doing it? And the other one is, it'll be done before the series premiere of Defiance, right? No, those are the two requirements that I had to do the thing tonight, was to know whether it was live and make sure it was done before that show came on tonight. Because I'm super, super, super excited about catching that. I had never watched a lot of Doctor Who, but this new Clara character is a hoot and a half, and I'm loving watching the new series of Doctor Who with Clara on it. She's awesome. So I'm watching that one a lot now. Anytime Torchwood is on, I watched it religiously, and it's one of my absolute favorite series of all time. What else am I watching right now? I guess that's kind of, you know, I don't think I have like a real specific loyalty to any one show at the moment. I'm hoping it's going to be Defiance when it finishes.
It looks amazing. I'm excited for it. Going back to your reading thing, other than Dune and Frank Herbert, what other writers were you a big fan of?
Well, it's kind of funny. I did another video interview a few months back, and they asked me, you know, who I like to read, and I actually mentioned the fact that if somebody's wanting to read science fiction, one of my favorite authors to read is John Scalzi.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
He has an amazing wit and kind of ironic and sarcastic sense of humor, but he also writes really good sci-fi.
Yeah.
And I actually got a tweet from him going, how cool is it that I'm porn star Charlie Harding's favorite science fiction author?
That's awesome.
And so now he and I, you know, tweet back and forth off and on. So it's kind of funny when the worlds collide or whatever. But John Scalzi's great. Ben Bova, I've read almost everything he's written. Greg Bear is a king in my book. Arthur C. Clarke can do no wrong. goodness. Like I said, I read Asimov when I was a kid. Kim Stanley Robinson has a really good series about Mars that I really liked. Is his name Jeff Summers with an O, who did The Electric Church.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
That whole series is really, really, really cool. So
nice.
You know, I mean, I could go on for days.
No, that's fantastic.
And speaking of authors and some great gay books, Charlie, I think you have a little special exclusive that
Actually,
we're getting
that's
right
true.
Here.
I have an exclusive announcement that I have been authorized to make right now. I held this up earlier. This is the contract with a brand new gay fiction publishing house called Wild City Press. That's Wild with an E, City Press. Their website is wildcity.com. So it's WILDECITY.com. And I have now partnered with them, and we are launching a series of books and short stories and novellas called Charlie Harding Presents, where I'm actually going to be writing some of them. And then I have a select group of authors that I hand chose to write other gay erotica. Wow. And so every story is going to be something that I've actually read and chosen to be something that I thought was hot, that lived up to to my expectations as a porn industry veteran and everything. And so we're about to launch that. That all comes out on May 1st. They wow. launch on the 17th of April. And then my Charlie Harding Presents line is launching on May 1st. So it's a super secret exclusive for you.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad. So you're getting to live out a dream, I bet, in writing science fiction.
My big thing for 2013, my New Year's resolution, I hate that term, but if you will, I said I'm only going to do things that make me happy. And so in January, I sat down and was like, well, what makes me happy? I love going to the gym. I love to eat. I love to create new businesses. I love to read. You know, and I came up with my list. And I was like, well, how can I take what I do and where I have influence and kind of mush it all together and make some kind of a something that makes sense? And so I started thinking about writing and everything. And then the right people at the right time got in touch with me with this. And we're like, heck yeah, this is a match made in heaven. So
awesome.
Wow, that's fantastic. What's the title of the first one?
I'm not sure which one we're releasing first. Okay. We have either two or three that we're going to be releasing on May 1st. But if you just go to the wildcity.com website, and once they get that up and running, the Charlie Harding Presents tab will present itself. And then we've got multiple ones that we're going to slowly release over the next 12 months or so. So
that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That's really great. We'll make sure that that goes up on the website, and we'll pump that out through Twitter as our exclusive from our interview with you.
That's awesome. So, okay, now, I guess for the listeners, how did you get into the porn industry? If I'm allowed to ask, if it's not getting personal.
Yeah, no, I was living in East Tennessee and had been in a relationship that ended for 7 years. It was a 7-year relationship that ended. And had, you know, been hitting the gym really hard and started doing some fitness modeling and art modeling for some photographers. And one of those photographers was like, you've got a really, really good body. Do you mind if I send your pictures over to a friend of mine who produces videos? And I was like, no, go ahead, because I'm one of those that I'll never turn down an opportunity until I've heard the whole story. I turn down plenty of opportunities and ideas that people present, but I'll listen to it, and then if it's something that's for me, it's for me. If it's not, it's not. And he sent my pictures out to Steve Cruz at Raging Stallion and Falcon, and he immediately got in touch, and we talked about it, and I said, what the hell? Let's give it a shot. Wow. I figured I can do a couple scenes, and if I absolutely hate it and never want to do it again, so what? I've done two scenes, and it's one of those bucket list things I can check off. I ended up going out. They had another guy cancel on them, so they brought me out a few weeks before I had originally intended, and I did two scenes with Tony. They loved me and immediately signed me for an exclusive. So for my first 6 months, I was exclusive with Falcon and Raging Stallion. So now I've also done work with Lucas Entertainment and Men.com.
Yes, I noticed last night it was with Lucas.
Is that the Lucas of Oh, Michael Lucas. Oh, Michael Lucas.
No, yeah, George Lucas. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, exactly.
I meant the
slightly different Lucas there.
Although some
very well respected in their industry.
Some people might want to watch George Lucas have sex. I'm just saying. There's a market for it. not for me.
Everyone's got a fetish, I'm just saying.
Wow, could all right, for my own curiosity, could you go through, like, I want to know, like, what a day is like on the set and...
Gotcha. Well, a day on the set, I mean, they're all a little different because you're working with different companies, different people, different processes. But the typical rule of thumb is that you have your call time, just like you would on any TV show, modeling gig or whatnot. And in my case, I always pre-coordinate so I know exactly who's all going to be there, who my scene partner or partners are, what my role in the scene is going to be. And this is all part of what I negotiate before I'll even agree to do the scene. And so then I know walking in what to expect. And then we sit down, we review again, who's doing what to who, who all's involved. We walk the set, you know, cause some of them have pretty elaborate sets. Some are real simple.
Right.
Others will have multi-level, you know, platforms and all sorts of miscellaneous other stuff. And
would
so
you
we
like
walk.
Get a script ahead of time?
Too,
like
sort
an idea.
Of, sometimes they're minorly scripted. Most of what I do is not so scripted. Men.com is really good about providing some sort of a scenario with some specific scripting points that they want you to hit during the scene. But most of the directors that I've worked with are really good about kind of letting us be very natural and kind of improv-ish when we're doing the scene. So, you know, so that it doesn't come across as, you know, the cheesy delivery guy going, "Hi, I have your," you know, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, right.
But yeah, so you show up on set, you review the set, you review everything that's going to happen, walk through and kind of figure out what positions are going to work the best given the anatomy of the folks, the size of the folks, the way the set's designed. And then all the directors do it differently. Some will have more of a step-by-step approach as to make sure that we film, you know, like the introductory B-roll stuff first, and then we go through everything else or whatever. Others just kind of keep it more free form. It just depends on the directors and such. Then we film and, you know, go through everything, get our money shot, and then somewhere along the way, either same day or next day or whatever, they'll do some still photography as well.
Now, how long is an actual shoot roughly? Like, if you were to say the average shoot.
I'm known, I always jokingly call it, I'm known as the one take wonder, just because I'm really good with dialogue. I'm actually really decent with the acting portion, and I take direction well. So when we're on set and we're supposed to start turned one way and then flip around to this other way and then do a backflip or whatever, you know, I'm usually pretty good at getting it right the first time. And that cuts a lot of the extra time out if you can do it right the first time. So, you know, I would say anywhere from, let's say, 3 to 8 hours is kind of a typical shoot for about a 20 to 30 minute scene.
Wow. Well, I have new visuals to think about. Think about what he's been through.
I was going to say, Eric, do you agree with him on that he's pretty good at the acting part?
I think he's fantastic. Just fucking fantastic.
Literally.
Well, yeah, literally.
Literally and figuratively, right? Yeah.
I didn't know his co-star's last name was fantastic. Oh.
So, okay. So now, like, okay, if we can get, I guess, a personal question.
Okay.
As far as, like, the whole dating thing. Like, how does that work for you? And does it work at all? Is it?
I'm engaged, so wow. You know. Yeah.
Congratulations, by the way.
Congratulations.
Yeah. See, there's the ring and everything. So.
Ooh, very nice.
But yeah,
he put a ring on it.
Yeah,
not stupid.
My partner Scotty Rage and I have been together for a little over a year. We've known each other for almost 4 years. Started out as friends. Started out knowing each other before I even remotely considered getting into the adult industry. And then we started dating about the same time I started doing adult films.
Oh, wow.
And we shacked up on our third date, so we were very lesbian-like. So I was living in Nashville. He lived in Atlanta. We'd known each other for 2.5 years or so, never met in person. It was all Facebook and texting and phone calls. And then he came up to visit me in Nashville about 6 months after my old relationship had ended, so I'd had my little rebound, sow my oats, whatever you want to call it time. And he visited me. Then a couple weeks later, I came down to Atlanta, visited him. And then about 3 weeks later, packed everything up and moved down here. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
It's worked great. We've always used April Fool's Day as our dating anniversary because we think it kind of fits with the way we live our lives. And so I actually proposed to him on Valentine's Day, another cheesy kind of holiday. I thought it was, again, the perfect moment that fits with our level of, like, odd comedic bliss that we're a part of. So
that's pretty awesome. I saw the announcement on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually in line at a store, and I'm flipping through my, I'm waiting and flipping through my Twitter feed, and I saw the picture of the ring, and I was like, oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So, and don't get me wrong, it's something that is a little bit odd, and it takes a little bit of extra communication, and it takes a lot of extra security within your relationship.
Right.
But, while I do something that's a little taboo and a little controversial for a living, it's still a job. And so, at some point, when you come home, you take off the work clothes, and I'm just back to being me and being the partner that I've always been. So, you have to communicate a little bit about that and have a lot of trust and a lot of good conversations, but it's definitely very doable.
Well, is what you do, does that like inhibit any of the romanticism in the bed or at home?
Well, it's interesting. I don't know. Sex with the person you love is different than sex with, say, just a hookup. And I would say anybody can kind of relate to that. You go out to a bar and you meet somebody and you go home and have sex. That's one way.
Right.
And then sex with somebody that you care about is very different. There's a different emotional pull. I mean, the physicality can be just as aggressive and just, and that kind of thing. But it fits in a different pocket in my brain, I guess, is the best way to put it. So there's work sex and then there's home sex, I guess.
Well, I mean, is that like kind of, stressful? Like kind of, it's like all day long you're on the set and then you come home and,
I have a really high sex drive. So,
I love him.
It's definitely not a problem or anything, so.
Now, is Scotty in the same world as you?
He is actually not in the adult film industry.
Okay.
Now, Scotty has done, he does a lot of art modeling, and we created Scotty Rage as his public persona, just like I have Charlie Harding. And so that gives him an outlet, too, for, the modeling and such that he does. But he has not actually filmed true adult porn. So
awesome. Can you just tell him that I said thank you for using the picture I took at Parliament House during Bear Bust as his Twitter picture?
Yeah.
Again, I'm flipping through my Twitter feed and I follow both, was it at C Harding XXX?
Yep.
And at Scotty Rage.
And at Scotty Rage XXX, yeah.
So follow both of you guys, obviously, after we met at Bear Bust. And did a great photo shoot, which our fans will get to see very soon.
Yeah,
we'll start putting those.
I can't wait to get those out there. They're going to have fun with those.
Oh, yeah. They are fantastic pictures. And I'm flipping through my Twitter feed. And I think I actually went up to New York for my birthday. And I'm flipping through and I'm like, oh, my God, that's my picture.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, the pictures. When they brought it, I got to see the picture. I was like, oh, my God. And I showed, I'm married. I showed my husband. I'm like, this is who I'm interviewing tomorrow. And after he slapped me, I was like, it's over.
Like it, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was kind of mad. But he got over it.
That's super fun.
Next time we'll have to go up to Atlanta and do the face-to-face interview and...
There we go.
I'm going to have to stay home. I call my husband the Batman, so he'll kill me.
We'll just make you sit on your hands, and you'll be fine.
Well, the next time we'll just do this in reverse. Eric will be the one by himself on the side of the camera. Yeah. And the rest of us will be up there with you.
Perfect. That'd be hilarious.
That would be
hilarious.
So as far as the mood, like, do you like working with anybody in particular? Is that any of your favorite actors you like working with?
I mean, I've met some really, really good guys, a lot of really fun folks that, some of which are great to be buddies with on set, and some are going to be friends forever. I have a couple friends who are coming in to Atlanta this week that I met through the adult film world. They both film as well. And, you know, we're all in touch as much as possible, and we just chit-chat all the time, you know? So it's sounds really cheesy, but porn stars are people too.
That's a new campaign
really
you need to start.
You know, and we have folks that we click with that we're going to be friends with forever, and then other folks that, you know, we can work with, but we don't necessarily click to a friendship level. And, you know, I mean, I've got a lot of miscellaneous guys that I've met that I really enjoy being friends with, you know, outside of the on-camera stuff as well. So
awesome. So is there anything as far as, okay, outside the porn, so now that the listeners got the whole porn world, okay, guys, I hope you're happy. But back to, like, the nerd, like, okay, this summer is going to be a lot of blockbusters. Anything you're, like, really excited for that's coming, or?
I want to see Oblivion, so that just came out. So I think we may do a little gay group here in Atlanta and go see that here in the next
That's
week.
The Tom Cruise one, right?
That's the new Tom Cruise one that just came out. Even though it has Tom Cruise in it, I still want to see it. You know? And then I can't wait for World War Z. So,
oh, that looks awesome.
The book was amazing. When I read that book a couple years ago, and it was awesome. One of my favorite zombie books ever. And the previews look like it's definitely going to do the book justice. So I'm super excited about that. I'm very excited about the next Hunger Games movie because, again, the book series was phenomenal. Really quick and easy read, really written at a level that you can zoom through them, which I enjoy because you can kind of keep your excitement intensity up. And I can't wait for the next movie in that series. But I would say the one that I'm the most excited about is probably the same thing everybody keeps talking about, which is the new Star Trek. Nice. The reboot for me was such a reality shift. Because it basically took everything that we've ever known about Star Trek and threw it out the window, you know? And so I'm really excited to see where they're going to take it from here and how they're going to explain what's different now that Vulcan's gone, when in the regular series and such, that was never even remotely close to an option.
Right. So, now, were you one of those people that, like, the haters when they were coming out with the first movie? Because I knew so many people that loved Star Trek to such a degree that didn't want to see this.
I thought it was time. I mean, I didn't necessarily think that they needed to go back and reboot from the beginning, per se, but I thought it was time to kind of upgrade, you know, because the Star Trek, the original series was there, and the movies were such an upgrade from the original series. And then you had The Next Generation, which was like from the TV series, was an effects and kind of acting ability and such upgrade, which I liked. And then some of the spinoffs were amazing, some not so much. Like, I loved Voyager. Voyager was probably my favorite Star Trek series of all.
Captain Jane.
But something about Kate Mulgrew was just really freaking cool. I don't know. But I loved that one. And so it was time for them to do something because they kind of done to death The Next Generation on the movies now. So, and they were starting to feel more like TV episodes than they were real movies. And so right. I was really excited to see them do something to infuse new life into a series that I've always loved. So, nice. So I'm kind of excited about this new Star Wars thing that they're talking about too. I thrive on change. I love new things. And so it doesn't scare me or upset me when somebody's going to kind of twist it and tweak it and make it something new.
See, it's so rare that you hear things. People get so upset so quickly and before they even know an outcome of anything.
Yeah.
But what about the that new, what's the Will Smith movie called that's coming?
After Earth.
The one with him and his son. Yeah. That's another one that I'm looking for. There's a lot of good sci-fi stuff coming out this year. I was really excited when I was going down the list. That's another one that I definitely wanted to see. So.
Yeah, they all look pretty amazing.
Yeah. I also wanted to see the Oz Great and Powerful, which was really good.
Oh, that was amazing.
You know, it was, aesthetically, it was phenomenal. And I love that they paid a really good respect and almost homage to the style of the original movie, both through acting style and aesthetics. I think it was a really cool and respectful way to, again, take an amazing original story and tweak it and make it more pertinent with today's society.
Right. So. Yeah, the only change they did with the Wicked Witch is they gave her the boob window.
Yes.
I was like, why?
That's very true.
I was Power like, look Girl? At them. Look at them.
Power Girl is the Wicked Witch?
Yes, Power Girl is the Wicked Witch.
Yes. That was so funny. But
that
yeah.
was great. I really enjoyed it. All right, I'm done with questions, guys. Do you have any questions, Finn?
Well, we didn't touch on any comics. Now, Charlie, do you read comics at all?
I have not necessarily been so much of a comic book person as I was a cartoon person on TV.
Okay.
You know, growing up, I was the big G.I. Joe and Transformers, nice. You know, back when they were the online TV, basically half-hour advertisements for the toys. Right. You know? And I had such a crush on all of the G.I. Joe teams. I had these magical fantasy orgies going on in
my
head.
Oh, my God. You too?
So, you know, but... you know, but yeah, so, you know, I was more the cartoon person went through all the Batmans and Supermans and, you know, kind of that traditionalist, I guess, if you will, with a lot of that. And then the weird thing that I used to do is comic book wise, I never used to actually collect like the action series. But you know when they would come out with the kind of – it was almost like the portfolio book of all the characters, and they'd have the one image, and it would list who they were and their alter right. ego and their powers. And those were the collections that I liked to have.
The index.
Which is kind of weird, and because then I'd go through and I'd pick out the folks that I liked the best and create my own little scenarios and make my own – make-believe my own things in my head as to what was going on. So, you know, it was weird. I liked the little – like the character anthologies more than I did the actual action comic series.
Right, wow.
Although I do have to say, I bought at a garage sale when I was like 8 years old. It was one of the old hardback Wonder Woman anthologies. Oh. I know, right?
Was it the Linda Carter version?
It's not coming, but anyway. But yeah, I just thought it was the coolest thing ever because it was a hardback book, but it was all the comic books, like for the first... I don't know, was it the first two or three story scenarios that they put together? I'm not sure exactly how many were in it, but it was about an inch thick, and I just thought it was the coolest thing ever because it was like the hardback books that I love to read, but it was all comics.
Yeah.
So. Well, can you recommend a graphic novel for him to try, Brian, since he likes the sci-fi more?
Nowadays, like with sci-fi, actually there's a few good books. There's actually some good Star Wars comics.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that's actually... set in between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. I think it's called Star Wars, right?
The new one is just Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that could be a lot of fun.
And it actually fleshes out the characters. There's actually one set in the far future of the descendants of the Star Wars universe called Star Wars Legacy. Both of those are by Dark Horse. That one's got the male Jedi descendant of Skywalker? Is it Caden the Skywalker? And then the female descendant of the Solo line, I forgot her name, something Solo.
Interesting. And I will tell you, I actually just ordered the first of the... There's a whole series of Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
And I just... I think I just got it off... I think I bought it off the first one on eBay.
I think I
So I decided, I needed to expand that collection. So that's going to be the first foray I have into the graphic novel kind of category is through some of the Battlestar Galactica stuff that's come out again.
You'll have to let us know how you think of that because I picked up one issue and I think the art turned me off more than anything. But
that was that was one of the things that I noticed is it seemed really kind of basic. It didn't have a lot of depth and it seemed a little flat.
Yeah, you know? That by no means take that as an indicator of what comics are like nowadays because they're kind of the low end of the totem pole.
I pick up the graphic novels when I'm at the bookstore a lot just to look through and look at the aesthetic and the art.
So. You definitely want to check out Jonathan Hickman, and there's two reasons why. One, I see him. He's one of the greatest sci-fi comic writers right now, and cool. He's doing mainstream books, but his ideas are very big, epic. Like you said, Asimov, Clark, all these guys, Herbert, cool. Very much Herbert. You'd love him for that. He's also an art, a visual arts guy. So not only is he a writer, but he does a lot of design work in his books, a lot of circles usually.
Very cool.
So you'll fall in love with his stuff with some of his early Red Mask from Mars.
Red Wing.
Red Wing's actually by an artist by Nick Pitaro, a beautiful, beautiful bearish man who is just delightful and such a nice guy. I have to always mention it.
Restraining order number 73.
And I don't stalk him at conventions. That's that other guy.
That's Ramon Perez.
Ramon Perez, exactly. No, but I mean, seriously, it, you know, being that you're a big fan of sci-fi, like myself, and good science fiction, old science fiction, even stuff like Scalzi, I mean, in a great tradition, there's some really good comics right now that you might really enjoy. So
I'll definitely check that out. So cool. Sounds like a lot of fun.
So I want to know what you've got coming up, because I know on Facebook I've been seeing this thing about you as a Marine, or you're going to a shooting range. Or
that's a cockpit.
Well, one of the multiple things. Everybody's like, so what do you do for a living? And I'm like, well, it depends on what day it is or what time it is, you know, because I have my what I call my Charlie Harding career, which includes the adult films. It now includes, or will include in the next few weeks, the gay erotica novels.
Right.
I also do party, throw club parties and such. And we have one coming up in Atlanta this Friday. It's my production company is called Sexy Bang Bang. And
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, but the promotion company is called Sexy Bang Bang, and this party is called Shoot It. And so it basically what we did was we took four kind of stereotypically butch characters, a hunter, a secret agent, some kind of an army man, and a cowboy, and did a photo shoot with the four of us with these huge flat cartoon guns that I drew out on cardstock and cut out and such. And so there's the four of us with these really big cheesy weapons. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's actually a video that we produced for as a promotional tip for the party. You can actually pull that off of the Facebook, you know, the Facebook event, which is the Sexy Bang Bang Shoot It. It's on DJ Diablo Rojo's YouTube channel, I think, as well, for the Manshaft parties. He put that up on there, and it's cartoony and it's really hilarious, and they did a lot of animation over the top of it. But that's a whole other thing that I do, is I do party stuff. So April 19th in Atlanta, we've got the Shoot It party at the Cockpit Bar. And then we also, Scotty and I, are in the process of launching Rage T-shirts, which basically we're taking vintage shirts that we find that we like and cutting them up and dyeing them up and adding extra graphics and stuff. I'm actually wearing one. This is one that we bought that we liked that we did a really interesting bleach job on, you know, and such. And then we're reselling those just because it's something fun and something artsy. Because a lot of folks don't know it, but Scotty is actually a painter and an illustrator as well.
Oh, wow.
As a hobby. And so this was just another one of those random outlets for him to get to do fun artsy stuff. Let's see what else. And then in what I call my mainstream job is I'm actually the business manager for a celebrity makeup artist and a celebrity stylist. So,
oh my God.
Somewhere in there, you know. I'm a little busy.
You know? Sounds like it.
Yeah. If I don't have something going on, I go a little crazy. So I'm like cheating. I'm looking. Oh, yeah. And then I also have my music that I'm starting to record. I'm heading into the recording studio again in about 2 weeks. I've already recorded a duet with a local Atlanta gay singer named Dylan Michael. And I'm going back in to do a solo single in about 2 weeks. I throw everything at the wall and I just kind of see what sticks.
Amen.
And then I kind of go from there.
That's awesome. You
know? That's amazing.
Yeah. Are you just singing or did you songwrite?
Yeah, I'm doing all the lyrics, then I'm co-writing the music with a friend of mine, DJ Bill Pardue with Mission Groove out of Chattanooga. He and I did the music together. He did most of it, and then I tweaked a few things. It's fun, and it's another random creative outlet.
What kind of music is it?
This is kind of basically going to be kind of pop and dance. My dog's barking at something. Like, what do you want, Buscapé? So, what is it, girl? No, you can't go kill the neighbor. Sorry. So, you know, they'll lay quietly on the couch the entire day, and then the moment you do anything, you know, that could be, you know, annoying if they start barking, that's what it's like. Anyway, lots going on. Wouldn't have it any other way, you know.
That's my thing. Now, if I wanted, because that shirt looked pretty awesome, like, could I be able to get it now, or you guys are working on it?
Well, by the time your actual episode comes out, because we're in the process of building up inventory right now, but in the next couple weeks, by the very 1st of May, they will be available on charlesworld.com. That's charlesworld, all one word. .com. That's a online store that I own where I sell some leather gear and play sheets and t-shirts. And so we're going to build a Scotty Rage Tees, you know, the Rage t-shirt section on there and sell them through that. They're all one of a kind, so it's kind of cool.
Maybe if you work something out with him and ask really nicely, get the one he's wearing right now.
Can I? Can I please?
I do sell my used socks and underwear on the website.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Oh, my Lord.
You, you know.
And that is charlesworld.com.
Charlesworld.com, yep.
What's, all right, I'll bring it up now.
I got to know, what's the most a pair of your used underwear has gone for? Do you know?
What's interesting about the underwear is I have just kind of a vague ad because it depends on which pair of underwear I've got that I want that I think is going to be appropriate.
Uh-huh.
But some of the pairs of, you know, I sell them for $100 a piece.
Wow.
And, you know, some of them I'll wear for 3 or 4 days or doing certain specific activities, you know, that kind of thing. And then, you know, kind of based on, I kind of customize them to fit what whoever it is that purchased them
I got you.
Might want.
Very cool.
I got nothing for that one.
Also, we should feel lucky because we still have the ones that were used for the photo shoot from Bear Bus.
Oh, that's true.
That's very true. Those will stay.
That's true. You've got photographic evidence that those have been worn by myself, Scotty Rage, and Dirk Kaber.
Yes.
So,
which everybody at the Parliament House in the pool that day. That was probably the most fun thing because it was a pool full of bears, obviously, during Bear Bust at Parliament House. And it was, what, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. The entire pool dead stopped when Charlie put on the underwear and is underneath the shower as I'm photographing him.
Those underwear were not the most opaque. Let's put it that
way. No.
You know, when they got wet, they were relatively see-through.
Just a little. We wouldn't have it any other way.
Exactly. Right? What would the point be?
We pride ourselves on nothing but the finest for our Flame On underwear.
All right. So I guess let's get a brief synopsis of how people can either get in touch with you, follow you, see new things that you're coming up with. You want to run down your amazing list of ways to follow Charlie Harding?
Typically, the best thing to do to track the movements of Charlie Harding, not in a stalkerish kind of way, but, you know, is really through Twitter. Because I announce every event that we've got coming up. If we've got something new going, like the t-shirt line, that's where we'll put up, you know, new designs that we're doing, that kind of thing. Because that's the one that's the easiest way to reach the largest amount of people who might be interested.
Right.
Because they don't have limits on the number of followers you can have, like Facebook and that kind of thing. And so my Twitter is at CHARDINGXXX. That's at C Harding triple X. So that's the best way and the easiest way to get in touch with me. So you can also, if you're interested in chatting with Scotty, more to his is at Scotty Rage triple X. That's SCOTTYRAGEXXX. And so between the two of those, you can kind of know what I've got going on, what he's got going on, and you know where we're going to be, what we've got on the horizon and such. And then, like I said, the t-shirts are going to be on charlesworld.com here in the next couple weeks. And then, you know, everything else will just slowly disseminate, you know, from those standpoints. So.
And one more time, what was the Gay Erotica website?
Oh, yeah. The new book line is coming out under – it's Wild City Press, and their website is Wild City – that's WILDECITY.com. And what you can do is right now, it's the 15th of April, that you can log in and sign up for email updates because they go live in 48 hours. So
cool.
It's a brand new company that's launching with some industry veterans. I'm super, super excited to be working with Jeff Knight and Ethan Day and a bunch of them. So it's going to be an absolute roller coaster blast. So
is it going to be like for tablet or just hard copies of the books?
We're doing ebooks to start, and then depending on the popularity of certain titles and that kind of thing. Because a lot of what we're going to do too, especially in the gay erotica medium, just kind of like when you watch adult films, say, you don't necessarily sit down and watch an hour and a half long movie.
No.
Yeah, no.
No.
You don't?
Those folks don't, oh. don't need
I watched 15 minutes of him yesterday.
You lasted so, that you long? Know,
So a lot of what we're going to do so that you can get a taste of a lot of different writers is we're going to have a lot of short stories and novellas, which are perfect for quick, you know, electronic download to your tablets and your computer and your e-readers and all that kind of thing. You can do it, and you'll be able to download all those directly from their website, or they'll be on all the regular outlets that you'll see as well. But, you know, the easiest way, the quickest way to get the newest stuff is going to be through the wildcity.com website.
Can I just say every time I hear novella, I just imagine overly made up Spanish women screaming and crying while reciting gay erotica. Ay, Dios mío!
I think we have a new segment we're gonna do. So I think that's what we're gonna do.
Yeah, some really hot stories that are gonna be there.
I think we'll figure this out. But I think reading some of these to give the reader or listeners a hint or a preview at some point when they launch, you know, I think that might be kind of fun.
Well, I could read it from the bathtub.
Or we could get Charlie to read it from the bathtub.
Be very interesting. I'll light some candles, get out a glass of wine, you know.
I like this.
I'm in. In the tub, that is.
Room, you know? Yeah.
I like it.
Can we get a six-person like jacuzzi and do this?
There we go.
I'd love to go come up to it.
We can definitely work that out. So,
Are you coming to Orlando anytime soon again? Or?
Well, I was actually just down there a couple weeks ago for my other stuff, doing some you know, with the career management and such, doing some negotiations on a big business deal. But I'm hoping that Scotty and I are going to make some sort of a little Florida run in June or July, because we really like it when it's hot.
I can tell by the videos.
We're actually talking about doing our honeymoon trip to get married in Atlanta in October, and then we may do a little Florida swoop through, like Orlando to do theme park, and then Fort Lauderdale to do beach, and then back through Orlando or something like that.
Aww,
that's
fun.
That's kind of how we roll. So
that's awesome. Cool. That's awesome. When are you getting married? When's the wedding date?
At some point in October. We're trying to work it out because Atlanta Pride is one weekend, and then there's a big gay fiction and adult erotica and romance novel convention in Atlanta in October.
Wow.
That I'm actually hosting the opening party for and going to be at because of everything I'm doing with the new publisher. And so we're between those two events, we're trying to figure out how to sandwich the wedding in there too.
You know, you're a big deal in the gay community when you have to plan your wedding around pride events and like book, you know, gay book parties.
It kind of gets kind of weird, but you know, it's the life we lead. So.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
We good?
Yeah.
Do you have any last things that you want to put out there, Charlie?
No, I mean, I've absolutely loved talking to you guys. And, you know, I love it when I can take something that's kind of from a different facet of who I am than what most folks see. Because most folks know me as the Charlie Harding porn guy. And then I get to tweak that image a little bit by throwing out some of this other stuff that I'm into and some of the other stuff that I do. So, you know, I really enjoy that kind of opportunity. I want to thank you guys for letting me do that.
Absolutely. So. Anytime. This is great.
Yeah. Anytime you want to be on the show, I'm sure Eric would be more than happy to do another interview.
I think Eric and I think what we ought to do is we ought to do a book club.
I like this already.
Eric,
like the Oprah book club.
Similar to like a circle jerk.
Yes, he's with me now.
In fact, I think that's what we'll call it. Thank you. And Eric will have to read a novella, and then we'll discuss it.
Hi, Pop.
Oprah style.
500 words. You'll be fine.
I love it. Thank you so much, Charlie.
Thank you so much, Charlie.
That's awesome. All right, thanks, guys.
Flame off.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital D-string on our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And be sure to check back to flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.